We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From brand new Pod World headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider from Learfield IMG College.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you. Adam, let me ask you, Adam, if you ever thought this day would come. One, we're comfortably in new Pod World headquarters. Two, Cole Anthony's balling out for the Tar Heels. Three, it's Friday.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Weekend. Partying, partying. Partying, partying. Fun, 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 fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
Glad to be back with you on a Friday here on the Carolina Insider. And we have a lot of fun stuff to talk about. We'll look back at the Notre Dame game. Cole Anthony with the 34 points, a Carolina record, and a freshman debut. We have an interview with Tar Heel graduate transfer Christian Keeling. A lot of fun with Christian. We will look ahead to tonight, Carolina and UNCW. Adam has a full breakdown of the roster of the Seahawks. Adam failed at his job to put together a five-second challenge, but never fear, I was ready with a backup five-second challenge just in case. I had a premonition this morning that Adam was going to mess it up, and so I have a five-second challenge that I will be delivering to Adam. Adam probably has a list. Adam doesn't even have a list.
I'm barely even here.
Adam's at least here physically. And I do have a what up to get to and a few other things. So, Adam, other than being completely unprepared to do the podcast, how are you, sir?
I was unaware that the podcast was going to continue once we moved into Pod World headquarters. I thought we did one, and that was like the crowning moment, and then boom, that's it.
It's like going to the moon, Adam. You go once.
Yeah.
Well, you do want to go again.
Maybe we'll hear more about that.
Maybe.
Maybe if you shoot for the moon, you land among the stars. But does that really make sense?
All of these things we will discuss. But Adam, let's start with Wednesday night in the Smith Center, Carolina, Notre Dame. And a lot to talk about. Obviously, though, the main story was Cole Anthony's performance. 34 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. And I said this after the game with Eric on the Tar Heel Sports Network, but I believe this to be true. We have seen Tar Heels have scoring performances like that before and, you know, just get hot and make a bunch of shots and look really good putting the ball in the basket. And Cole Anthony certainly did that. And the Tar Heels needed him to do that. But Adam, what was most impressive to me about his performance was the totality of it, the completeness of it. The 11 rebounds, the 5 assists, the good defense. It was an incredibly impressive performance, not just because of all of the points, but because of everything that he did and the fact that it didn't even seem to be coming very hard for him to do it. It just seemed like, oh, okay, let's go. 34 and 11.
I thought in a lot of ways the most impressive thing and also the most slightly concerning thing about Cole Anthony's night was not when he was making all the shots, because everybody's valuable when they're making all the shots. And like you said, we've seen people have halves like that. We saw Kobe White score 23 and a half last year. But what happened when he was out? When Cole Anthony was out, and he was out for 2 minutes and 58 seconds in the first half, and things just ground to a complete halt. It was like the five on the floor had not met each other before. And Notre Dame went on a 12-2 run, and Roy Williams looked down the bench and said, I think it's time for a little more Cole Anthony. And to the point that even in the second half, when it started to look like Anthony might be just a little bit tired, instead of subbing him out, Roy Williams called a timeout with 6 minutes left in the half of an ACC game. And it sure looked like that timeout was to get Cole Anthony some rest rather than, and I'm sure Coach Williams also had some strategy to deliver, but it really looked like it was to rest him. And if you're that valuable already in the first game, then that's both really good and also a little concerning for the Tar Heels.
Yes, I thought there were times during the game where it was very clear that the Tar Heels had a new group of players on the court. They, at times, looked a little confused and just it wasn't quite clear who was supposed to be where. And yeah, I think you saw that some even on the fast break points that Notre Dame scored, 26 of them. And I think some of that was Carolina just wasn't picking up correctly on defense at times. And I don't know if that's totally unexpected. I think maybe the level of it was a little shocking to see. But as we well know, this is as turned over a roster as Carolina has had at least since the 2013 season, when it went from 2012 to 2013, as the kids say. Maybe even you go all the way back to 2006, coming off that 05 championship, when you start thinking about the amount that Carolina had to replace with this team. And if you remember, they needed a buzzer beater from David Noel to beat Gardner Webb at home that season to start the year. So I don't know if that was necessarily surprising to see. And again, I think you do have to remember that you're playing a relatively high-level opponent in the first game. This isn't a year that you can go out there and survive a bunch of mistakes and still win by 20 points just because you're a lot better than the other team. That wasn't the case in this particular season because of the conference game. There is no doubt that Carolina is going to have to be better outside of Cole Anthony long term. And I think there were some positives, which, you know, Garrison Brooks, we can talk about, Andrew Playtech, which we can talk about. But Carolina's going to have to get better. And I think Christian Keeling and Justin Pierce are going to be better than they were on the stat line against Notre Dame. I even think Pierce, even though he was only one of six, I think he looked a little more comfortable than he did against Winston-Salem State. I think he's only going to get more comfortable. It's almost like he just needs to chill out just a little bit, get a little more comfortable with the situation, and I think you're going to see him be valuable for Carolina in a lot of different ways. And then with Keeling, I thought, Adam, it just screamed of, okay, I know I'm supposed to be this guy who's going to score some points, and I'm just going to make it happen. And when he drove into lane, it wasn't Big South players in there anymore. And so he's just going to need to continue to adjust to the level that Carolina plays, how he fits in on the team, and that's going to come. We've seen it. He can score. He's just got to be smarter in the way that he tries to do it. And that'll come with playing time and with getting more comfortable with the team and all those different things.
Well, what a freshman always talk about. They talk about how fast the game is. The same's true for Keeling and Pierce. The game's moving faster than what they were accustomed to at the level they were playing at, which was a good level, but not the very best level in college basketball,
right,
which is what it is when you play ACC basketball. So there is going to be a slight adjustment period. As far as the newcomers, Carolina scored 75 points against Notre Dame last season, and four of those points played on Wednesday night, Garrison Brooks. That's it. 71 of the other of the 75 points were gone. That you're basically starting over. And I thought it really illustrated it pretty well. It was in the second half, and Keeling kind of drove down the left-hand side of the lane. You thought, oh, he's got a shot right here. But at that exact moment, Leaky Black kind of cuts down the baseline, and he didn't block Keeling's shot, but he prevented the shot from being taken. And that's the kind of play that happens when teammates aren't quite sure what the other one's going to do, which you expect in early November. And by January, everyone's going to know when Christian Keeling gets the ball in this spot, he wants to do this, and I need to go here. But in the first week of November, no one's quite sure of that yet, and you have to figure it out on the court.
I thought the two guys I mentioned earlier in Brooks and Playtech were important in this game. And Roy Williams was very quick in the post game when those two guys were mentioned to immediately talk about what he didn't like about what they did. But 10 and 9 from Garrison Brooks, if you got that every game on average, I think that'd be good. I think you'd love a little bit more, at least in the scoring area. And that's a lot to ask. I mean, but that's the role that he is filling. Yeah, I thought Brooks just looks more you can tell he's the guy that's done it, I think, when you're watching them play. You can tell that he's used to this level, that his body is used to this level. You can tell that he is physically and at the level of his game okay with what's happening on the court. Now, you're still asking him to take steps forward. He did block three shots, which I thought was big. And as Armando Bacot gets more comfortable, those two are going to continue to play off each other. And as we talked about after the exhibition, I think that can be a real strength for Carolina. And then with Playtech, Adam, with Robinson's injury, Carolina has to have somebody else step up. And Andrew Playtech is about the only option, or at least the logical choice in that role, along with Leaky Black, but Leaky was already going to be playing a lot. And I thought he did a really nice job. Were there some defensive lapses? Yes, especially in transition. But if you're Andrew Playtech, you need to do a couple things. Be involved on the glass, play good enough defense, and hit the open shot when it's there. And I thought he had one of the biggest shots of the game. Even with Cole Anthony going crazy, it was Anthony's pass to Playtech and his knocking down of the long three to stretch the lead to eight. That I thought was one of the biggest shots of the game. And so could both those guys be better? Yes. Did they both give Carolina something very important that helped them win this game? Also, yes.
I thought it was also impressive that Anthony threw the pass to Playtech because Anthony could have shot that ball.
Sure.
I really like the way Cole Anthony described that play in the postgame on the radio when he said that Playtech was butt naked.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to start calling it when guys are wide open.
Yeah.
Like when Sam
Howell... Can I get away with that on the radio? I don't think so. Can I?
When Sam Howell throws a pass to Daz Newsome and there's a coverage breakdown, Howell over the middle, Newsome's butt naked and he's got it! The listenership is going to go crazy. But yeah, and also Playtech took that shot because there's been a couple times coaches have gotten on him about being hesitant, and that one was right in rhythm, and boom, he shot it like he does in practice. The thing about Brooks, everybody's talking about Anthony's minutes. Garrison Brooks played 39.
Yeah.
He came off the court for 60 seconds, and that felt right. You needed him out there. I thought he was great defensively on Mooney,
yes.
Who's a tough player to cover and can do a lot of different things, but Garrison Brooks can do a lot of different things defensively.
I thought, in thinking back at the broadcast, which, of course, the most important thing, Adam.
Right.
There were so many times where I said, Mooney with the guarded jumper, you know, or a tough jump shot or a guarded three or whatever. And that was most of the time Garrison Brooks who was on him and played physical without fouling a ton, always had a hand in the face. And there just weren't many clean looks. And Mooney hit some because he's a good player. But I agree with you. I thought Garrison Brooks played terrific defense in that game against Mooney.
We talked about this a little bit last year, and I thought you saw it a little bit on Wednesday night. He kind of looked like George Lynch just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just all the things he did, none of which were the most outstanding thing of the game, but Carolina needed him to do all of them.
Carolina, and I think some of it, Adam, and Roy Williams admitted isn't the right, he said it himself. If this hadn't been Notre Dame, Garrison Brooks wouldn't have played 39 minutes, and Cole Anthony wouldn't have played 37 minutes. I do think some of it was just the situation. Now Carolina has UNCW, and they have Gardner-Webb, and they have Elon, or their next three games. Gardner-Webb and Elon at home, UNCW on the road. Tar Heels will be favored in all those games. The Wilmington game a little trickier because it's on the road and the familiarity with C.B. McGrath and the program. But I'll be interested to see how the minutes distribute themselves in these games because I do think it affords Carolina a little more of an opportunity to play more guys, to see the combinations of players and see how it works. Because I don't think there's any question that if Carolina was playing full ACC action right now, it'd be about the seven guys that played a majority of the minutes last night because that's what they have and what Roy Williams is comfortable with. And it goes back to the Tar Heels badly need Brandon Robinson and Anthony Harris and Sterling Manley to get healthy. Now, if that will happen and if it does, how available or effective are they? I don't know. But those feel like some really important pieces that Carolina needs right now.
And this next stretch is the stretch where Roy Williams will put some lineups on the court that people don't understand, and they'll freak out because I just saw Cole Anthony score 34. Why don't you have him out there? Because at some point he won't be out there. His shoelace will break, or he'll step on somebody's foot, or he'll get three fouls in the first half or something, and you'll have to do it without him. And just go ahead and put it in your mind now that at this point we know Roy Williams well enough to know he's going to plan for that in November and December so that when it happens in February, it's not a crisis. So just go ahead and take a little extra sip of water because there will be lineups on the court in the next three games that you'll never see again, but you've got to see if they work. And this is the time to do that.
Also worth mentioning in those names, KJ Smith / Jeremiah Francis, which I think KJ Smith is much closer to being available and helping the Tar Heels than Francis is. And I think KJ Smith can give Carolina, even if it's 3 minutes a half at the point guard spot, I think he can give them that and be effective there for the Tar Heels. And I think they're going to need that. And so just getting some pieces back will alleviate some of these minutes that you're going. Although some teams do this all the time. It's just not the way Roy Williams handles it. And that's why I think it's so surprising to see those numbers, is that's not how he has traditionally done things. Some teams do it and they're fine with it and that's how they play. It's just not how he chooses to do it. And so that's why I think those numbers are striking to see.
I do think KJ Smith could give you a little, and I guess we haven't talked about it much because I've definitely gotten some emails and tweets about it, but he had an ankle injury, didn't play in the exhibition game because of it. Not sure if he was officially available on Wednesday night. He thought he could, but every player always thinks they could. And that's the kind of thing you don't want to push, because what if you go out there and make it worse against Gardner Webb and then you're not ready for Ohio State? So I think it's prudent to be more cautious.
Adam, the other just couple team things before we move on. Carolina really rebounded well. 51 rebounds in the game, out-rebounded Notre Dame by 20. And that is not a small Notre Dame team. It's not going to be the best rebounding team that the Tar Heels play this year, but not a bad rebounding team. And Anthony had 11. 7 for Pierce, 7 for Leaky Black, 8 for Baycott, 9 for Brooks, 4 for Playtech. So a lot of different guys getting involved in the rebounding side of things. That was a positive. A negative, still too many turnovers, 18 of them for Carolina. And the fast break points really were surprising to see. Notre Dame, traditionally a team that plays at a slower pace, but 26 fast break points for Notre Dame. And I think a lot of that is the turnovers led to some easy points. And as we mentioned earlier, Carolina still has some defensive things to work out just with the people that they have on the floor.
One of which is don't get beaten down the court. It happened 3 or 4 times, and I'm 100% sure it was brought up in practice yesterday. Roy Williams hates it when, instead of running back, players just point at an opponent who's running down the court, like, that's your guy, better go pick him up. And he will say over and over, I don't want to see the pointing, you just go get him. If he's ahead of everybody, that's your guy. It doesn't matter whose guy it actually is. And Carolina did that a couple times, which I think, again, goes back to the familiarity and the somebody else will do it instead of I'll do it. I'll help a teammate. I'll do it myself. So I don't know that that's necessarily a physical issue. Cole Anthony called it an effort issue in the post game, and I don't think anybody wasn't trying.
Right.
But also 18 turnovers against a team that plays that slow is a lot. And I thought it was also interesting. I don't think Carolina trapped hardly any, if at all, one time.
And Notre Dame hit a 3.
Which is low for a home game where we know Roy Williams likes to trap more at home, and I think says something to how much progress is still to be made and learning is still to be made and familiarity is still to be gained. So I think there were lots of signs that this was not exactly a mid-February game with everybody clicking on everything.
Last thing, at least for me, Adam, I think the expectations for this team from the outside, from away, were really high because they'd heard of Cole Anthony and it's the Tar Heels. I think a little bit closer, it was more tempered of, you got to wait and see with this group. And I think the realistic expectations at the moment are probably somewhere in between there, in that the Tar Heels are not a Final Four team right now. But I think you leave that game going, okay, I can see how this can eventually work. It's not there yet, but I think you can see how this can eventually work for the Tar Heels.
And I think the flip side would be if Carolina is totally reliant on Cole Anthony scoring 34 every game just to beat Notre Dame, that's concerning. But I think the whole idea is he eventually will not have to. You just need everyone else to play at his level, not as well as Cole Anthony, but play at the level at which he is playing in terms of intensity and effort and all that. And if you get that, you've got a legitimate ACC title contender. How regularly can you get that? We don't know, and nobody knows, because there's just so much uncertainty about this team.
Yes, you can't rely on that many points every night, but they needed it on that night, and they got it. And right now, that's all that matters.
And it was fun to watch him get it.
Yes. Okay. Adam's going to give you your UNC Healthcare Champions watch in just a second. But before that, fire up the music. Because the podcast is brought to you by the Pinehurst Resort and the legendary Pinehurst Number 2, site of the 2019 U.S. Amateur and the 2024 U.S. Open. 9 courses, 1 legendary destination. You can visit pinehurst.com to plan your next golf getaway. Champion Watch, brought to you by UNC Healthcare. The team at UNC Healthcare is dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds. That includes you and your family. You can see their lineup at unchealthcare.org/sports. Adam, who do you have your Hawkeye binoculars on this weekend?
We've got 2 teams competing for ACC titles this weekend and an ACC network almost doubleheader today. Field hockey is at the ACC Championships in Newton, Massachusetts.
Yeah, they are.
They'll play in the semifinals today at 1 o'clock on the ACC network. The finals are on Sunday, should the Tar Heels advance. Women's soccer faces NC State today at 5 o'clock in Cary. You could go to that game if you're local. That game's also on the ACC network, so if you're not local, you can just sit on your couch and watch ACC network all afternoon and watch 2 really good Tar Heel teams. Both those teams have a chance to win ACC titles. Both those teams are also going to have to beat some of the nation's very best teams in order to do so.
Yeah, those are 2 national championship contenders for sure in field hockey and women's soccer. No question.
Both championship games in those sports are on Sunday. So if the Tar Heels win today, you'll be able to watch them again on Sunday.
Adam, Carolina basketball back in action tonight against UNCW. UNCW had a 20-point win against an outclassed opponent in its season opener. And, of course, CB McGrath, the head coach there, Trask Coliseum will be sold out. It is the biggest game there in maybe ever, certainly in some time. And I think it just is going to provide Carolina another opportunity to learn something, because you're now going to be doing it against people who – now, there'll be some Tar Heel fans there, but you're going to be doing it against a majority of the crowd that is not cheering for you.
And again, not sure if we've mentioned, you've got all these newcomers. They're going to have to go see what it's like to play in a road game as North Carolina. It's different to go play in a road game as William & Mary or Charleston Southern. No offense, it just is.
Yeah, sure.
The electricity in the building is different. The passion with which people react to your team is different. Either they're super excited that you're there and it's their one chance to get to see the Tar Heels, or they want nothing more for this entire season, even though it's November, than to beat the Tar Heels. And that's something that you can't replicate. And that's why Roy Williams plays games like tonight, is so newcomers can get used to that kind of feeling before they have to go to Louisville, Kentucky or South Bend, Indiana.
I, Adam, feel like our guest, Christian Keeling, is going to have a big bounce back tonight. Feel like he's going to have a better game. He just looked like he was pressing a little bit, 5 turnovers, and you can almost see him going, okay, I know I've had a couple of mistakes, but this time it's going to be better. And then it would happen again. And so it wasn't, you know, to his credit, he was 2 for 4 shooting the ball. So it wasn't like he was 2 of 11 and it was that kind of frustration. It was more he was trying so hard to not settle for a 3 and he wanted to drive and do this and this. And Notre Dame's just ACC caliber opponent. And so they were knocking the ball free a lot. And he, I feel like he's having a bounce back.
It wasn't like it was a selfish performance in which he was like, I'm going to get all my shots.
Right.
It almost felt like he wasn't quite selfish enough. Like, I'm going to go be a playmaker. Well, you don't have to do that. Just wait for 2 guys to go cover Cole Anthony. He'll throw you the ball and you knock it in.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. So I think you're right. I think he'll be a little more comfortable with his role.
I think people will enjoy getting to hear from Christian. Fun personality, fun guy. Also, though, as we talk about during this interview, I mean, he's been through some very real-world difficult things, that some stuff that you and I would just never have to deal with, that I'm guessing a lot of people listening to this, it's just not their reality, but it's been his reality, and has gotten to this point in his life and his basketball career, and I think it's really exciting for him because it hasn't been easy.
And I think he clearly understands the opportunity that he has and appreciates it. And that's fun to see.
So I think you'll enjoy hearing from Christian Keeling. We'll do that. Come back. I will pick up Adam with an awesome 5-second challenge. I have couple other things as well. Adam may contribute to the podcast after this point as well. We'll find out. All coming up after our interview with Christian Keeling here on the Carolina Insider.
Incredible honor today for Christian Keeling. Probably the most exciting day of his basketball career, as he is the first official current Tar Heel interview in Pod World headquarters. Christian, is this the pinnacle of your basketball life?
For sure, for sure.
Is it everything you thought it would be when you walked in here, Christian? Just these the lap of luxury that we have for you?
Yeah, I thought I was in heaven. For sure. I'm not going to lie.
Tell us a little bit about the last couple months for you. I have to imagine that spring, summer time period was wild. Tell us a little bit about it.
It was crazy. Like you said, it was wild. A lot of changes was going on. So I had to make a transition very quickly than, you know, most transfers. But it was a good move. Give so much thanks to Charleston Southern and what they made me on and off the court. And I thought it was time to change and go to the big leagues, I guess. So now I'm trying to get over, you know, adapting, and now the season here. So everything happened so quick, like in the flash of an eye. So it's crazy, but I'm ready.
When did you first start thinking you might have an opportunity to go elsewhere? And then what was that process like?
My head coach actually came up with the whole plan of me graduating 3 years, which is kind of, you know, not typical for a head coach not to come up with plans. But it was after my sophomore year, I told him I thought about wanting to transfer. And he was like, "You're on track to graduate in 3 years, so let's think about that route." And he was just like, "Just give me your all for this last year, your junior year, and then after the season, we'll see if you want to grad transfer or not." So we already knew before the season that it was a possibility for this would be my last season. But at that time, we just told him to put it in the back seat and just focus on my junior year. And it turns out to be one of the best year at Charleston Southern. So it works out, you know.
So when did Carolina get into play? When was it a relationship that you thought might be able to happen?
I think Carolina was playing when I put my name in the portal. I think they was getting ready for like Auburn game or something like that. So I guess they wasn't really like looking, you know, obviously you had to focus on the game, whatever. But I think one of the coaches at Winthrop was in my conference said he knew Coach Frederick. Mm. And I knew him from some type of connection or whatever. And he was like, I think I'm going to spread the word and, you know, give them your name and your film and see what they look at. And then next, you know, I got a call from Coach Frederick, a text. I didn't think it was for real. And then Coach Williams called me and I was like, oh, wow, maybe this is for real. And then Coach Williams so happened to be in Charleston. Because I think he got a house in like Wild Dunes on the beach or something like that. And I think it was Easter. He came down to see me in Easter and we had a good conversation. He said he wanted to get me on a visit. But it was so like quickly because like I think my visit was only 24 hours. So it was crazy. So it all happened so quick.
When you are a graduate transfer, yeah, Obviously that recruiting process is different than the coming out of high school recruiting process. When you have to make that decision so quickly, what kind of things were important to you when you were talking to different coaches and schools, and why was Carolina the one that stood out for you?
When the difference, I have to feel like in high school, you kind of like need the coaches to offer you. Now I'm a grad transfer. Now it's like the ball is in my court. I get to pick and choose what I want to do or what's best for me. So obviously I told them I was looking to make the tournament. I haven't been to the tournament in 3 years, and that's my dream to go to the tournament. And that was one of the criteria, and obviously a winning program, a winning tradition. And I feel like I always want to go to the ACC or the SEC or, you know, Power Five conferences. I think that's what type of player I was. So, and then also, you know, opportunity to play. Like, this is my last year. Obviously, you don't want to, you know, not get limited to minutes, but obviously, you know, play. But you got to earn it, obviously. And just go where the culture is good, like, the, you know, culture off the court. And then, like, the biggest thing was academics. You know, I had to make sure that it had my major, it had me what I want. But one thing that stood about Carolina, I mean, obviously people were thinking like just I couldn't say no to Carolina, but it was the one thing that Coach Roy said. Like all the schools that was recruiting me was telling me, yeah, we need to get back to the tournament. We need to get back to the tournament. Coach Williams said, we trying to win a championship. So that just stood out to me so much. And not only just get to the tournament, but just win a championship. So I think that stood out to me the most. And why not do it in my home state in Atlanta? So that's going to be bittersweet.
We always hear so much about the transfer portal.
Yeah.
How does that work? Is there like a magic button? Like you push the magic button.
You step through a door.
And then they give you like a shirt, like I'm in the portal. Like, how does that work? And how soon after you push the magic button do you start hearing from other schools?
I think I went to compliance the day after I lost. I think I woke up early. I went up there.
At the door when they opened. Yeah. What's Christian doing out there? It's 6:30.
It's portal day, boys. Let's go.
I think I was out there like 7:30. I was ready. And I thought it was like a button or something, or like, I don't know, you had to take a picture to put it in or something. But nah, it was like a little form or something. And I guess the compliance like put it in. But they said it's not going to process to like, I think 24 hours or the next day. So the next day I woke up, I went to class, and like I had like 5 to 10 phone calls in like 5 minutes, and it was like crazy. And I talked to just about everybody in the country, and it was like, wow, like this is crazy.
How do you decide what calls to answer and what not? Because you don't know who these numbers are, right? And you probably don't usually answer calls from numbers you don't know. Yeah. If it was like the right area code, you're like, oh, okay. 919, all right.
So I think like that helped me out. Like when I seen the cities, like where the unknown numbers was from. And I always had to, like, I think that stage I had to always answer people calls. I didn't know who it was or whatever. But it got tiring, I ain't gonna lie, because you had to 24/7, they call you, because people from the West Coast, it's 10 o'clock your time and it's 7 o'clock their time. You like, oh, man, you must forgot about, you know, I'm on the other side of the country. But it was good, because they even, like, called my dad and my auntie and all of them. So it was like they was getting overwhelmed. Like, my dad, he just told him, like, don't call me after a certain time. My auntie, she don't answer people calls that she don't got saved. So that kind of eliminated them out of the picture. So, but it was cool. I mean, it was exciting. I see how, like, 5 stars out of high school, I see how they felt. But it's very hard to narrow your list down, though.
What did you know about Carolina before you started doing your research and thinking about where you wanted to go to school?
I knew a lot, actually. My dad is a diehard Carolina fan ever since Jordan and that Worthy team played my uncle at Santa Clara, like at some tournament. Ever since then, my dad was a diehard. So I've been knew about it. And Tyler Hansbrough is my favorite college player of all time. So I just knew my dad always, like, watching it. I ain't going to say I was a diehard Tar Heel fan, but, like, if I had to choose a college team, it would have been North Carolina. So I knew a lot about it, and just to come take the visit and just see around, I was overwhelmed, to be honest, because it was my dream school. And just to bring my dad on it, it felt good, and I seen a smile on his face. So, but it was crazy, though, because he was always, like, when it came to that, he was always strictly business, so he just wanted to go what was best for me.
So Tyler Hansbrough's game and your game, not exactly the same type of game. How did he become your favorite player?
It's crazy because a lot of people do say that his competitive nature. I mean, he is fire. Like, every time you see him, man, you just get fired up watching him play.
Yeah.
I think he's the most competitive player to ever play college basketball in my eyes. I mean, he plays so hard. To this day, when we play pickup, he'd be about to kill us out there. but I mean, that's what makes him so good. He wasn't the skilledest, he wasn't the biggest, you know. But he played, so he had that drive, and it just attracted me to him. So yeah.
Once you got to Chapel Hill this summer, what were your first impressions, and how did you feel like you started to fit in?
My first impression, like, everything is bigger. I came from Charles Southern. It was one of the smallest campuses, one of the smallest gyms. Like, everything is bigger. They got more stuff. And the fans here is crazy. Like, they over here asking me for autographs and pictures. I ain't played 1 minute yet. So I'm like, yo, you really want, you know, I might not even play. You over here asking me stuff. But it was crazy. I was walking in the street, getting me something to eat with my people. And then, like, this dude's like, you Christian Keeley? I'm like, yeah. And, like, can I take a picture? I'm like, yo, like, I haven't even got a practice jersey yet. Like, but it was crazy, you know. The fans here is unbelievable. They love UNC, like, all over the country and stuff like that. But my teammates and my coaches welcomed me with open arms and made me feel comfort and feel content and stuff like that. And they told me it's gonna be rough, you know, because me and JP had to learn a lot of stuff in a short amount of time. I feel like this, you know, stuff happened so quickly. You know, we are already at the first game already. And I'm still learning. So, but they teaching me, even the players, everybody, Liz Jonas, everybody from the weights to Doug, they just teaching me, and, like, you know, they are looking out for me, and and it's grooming me how to be a UNC basketball player. So it was great. You know, it was easy to transition emotionally and physically. So yeah.
We talked to Justin last week or a week or two ago and asked him this same question. You hear a lot about Carolina family. Yeah. As somebody who's kind of coming in right at the end of your college career, how has that family welcomed you into what they do?
It was crazy because I feel like I've been here 4 years. You know, the way that they treat us and the way that the people outside, like the pros come back. Like, I never seen like so many pros come back, and they just feel like our brothers. Like, we've been knowing each other for so long. Like, Danny came back, Marv came back, Tyler's be here, Big Z, like, and they be like, Big Z practice with us and stuff like that. So I was like, wow, like, and it's still like, you could just know, like, Big Z still know the plays. So, like, you could tell how long this has been going on. And like, you could tell, like, we just one big happy family. And like, just from the coaches, from Coach Smith, from all of them, you could just tell, like, everything just the same thing. They're not gonna change. Mm-hmm. And they say they look after us, like, even if like we in their hometown, or like, you know, we see them asking if they want to come see a game or whatever. So, and I think Justin look out for us, like, you know, all of them. So it's just great to just talk back to the former guys. They come back and talk to us in the locker room, and you could just tell that brotherhood is there, and then, you know, I feel a part of it. So I guess when I leave, I'll come back and spread that brotherhood.
It feels like you and Coach Williams have a very unique relationship.
That's my guy.
He was talking about you recently, and he said you keep trying to give him a hug. What are you trying to do, and why won't he let you do it?
I guess the rumor was I had pink eye.
That's a legitimate reason to stay away.
I feel like he's in the right, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, but I told him, like, if you can't love me while I'm sick, then you can't love me when I'm healthy. But
he don't love me at my worst.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, but then he hit me with the, you know, he got a response with everything. He said, "You're not my wife, we're not married." I was like, "Well, I'm not gonna go against Miss Wanda." So, but nah, I try to give him a hug before every practice, because, you know, sometimes, you know, you just need a hug to brighten up your day or whatever. But sometimes he reject me because he be mad already. Sometimes
before practice starts.
Yeah, sometimes, you know how Coach is. You never know with him. So, but that's my guy. We joke around 24/7. But I know when to be serious. Trust me, I know when to be serious, because, you know, it's time to play. But like, I love to joke around. He called me Theo Pinson Jr. I think I seen. Yeah, kind of offensive. I think I'm my own person, but nah, Theo had a great personality. So I think I have a great personality. I love to play. I love to have fun. But Theo was a great player on the court. So, I mean, I'd be honored just to be, you know, just to be in the same sentence like that.
How do you figure out where the line is between fun Christian and time to compete Christian?
I think, like, you know, when, like, in practice, you know, when it be like, okay, it's time to be serious, because, you know, it's time to go to work. You know, it's always like off the court, I think that's when I show more of the fun Christian, because I know, like, when you inside that rectangle, it's all about work and getting the job done and locking in. But at the same time, you can show it throughout your game. You don't have to always be serious. You can always show emotions and energy throughout your game. But for the most part, you got to be serious and locked in and be focused on what the goal is for the day.
Tell us a little bit about your game. What should Tar Heel fans expect on the court?
I guess Coach recruited me to be a scorer, so I guess that's what people are
saying. I like how he, even just saying scorer, like thinking about points, made you smile right then.
I guess I like to score, but obviously I do a lot of little things, like I did at Charles Southern. I like to rebound. I like to steal, block shots. I mean, I do a little bit of everything. I think I want to bring that, like, swag, and then just my personality to it. So, but, you know, you got to play defense. So, I mean, you always got to play defense. But, I mean, I just want to just fulfill my role, you know, whatever the coaches staff want me to do, and that's what I'm going to do. But it's going to be a lot of personality out of me, a lot of swagger, because I just can't stop smiling for some reason.
Coach Williams loves his rebounding.
Yeah.
From his wing guys.
Yeah.
What have you learned about his emphasis on that part of the game, and what improvements do you feel like you have to make there?
I think he told me one time, "I won't play if I don't rebound."
You're not the first one he's told that.
But now, Kenny and Cam, they averaged like 4 and 5 rebounds last year, and he said, "If we just average that, that's good enough." And you know, I'm just he really emphasized rebounding because, you know, he think defense and rebounds run games and stuff like that. So, you know, just you just got to hit the boys hard. You know, I'm going to try my best to get how many rebounds I can to help the team, and we're just going to go from there.
What do you like to do away from basketball?
I like to hang out. Like, I like to, you know, just chill, just kick it with my teammates and stuff like that. I like, you know, just chill. I like to sit in the hot tub. I be falling asleep in the hot tub for some reason.
It's nice, though.
It is. It's so lovely, man. It's so lovely, especially after hard practice. You go in that hot tub, in that cold tub, you just go to sleep. But, nah, I like to play cards, though. I real like spades and tonk and poker and all that stuff.
How about Uno? I'm really good at Uno.
I'm real good at Uno, but it's so simple, though. You like, I can't.
That's why I like it. It's on my level.
Yeah, but like spades, though, you got to think, though. You could just, you don't have to think.
I don't know how to play spades. Do you know?
What?
I don't think so.
You know how to play spades?
Dude, Which one is that?
Is there anything worse than when your partner in spades says they're getting four or whatever and they get three and you're just totally, yeah, like, your team goes down?
Like, these tell me, like, okay, I got three definite and maybe a possible.
Yeah, we need to have a little cross table talk so we're teammates. Yeah,
like, so you guys need a minute in a room alone?
I'm just saying, you got to have that chemistry. That's why I don't play spades.
Who's your partner in spades? Do you guys, like, do you have a partner on the team?
B-Rob is my partner in spades. I never lost with B-Rob yet. So we played against a couple of components. They ain't match up yet.
Who?
We played with a couple of students around campus. We played with a couple of teammates. Some of the teammates don't even know how to play spades.
I understand that.
It's like, wow, like, what do you, like, how do y'all grow up not playing cards?
Yeah.
So, but we play Madden a lot. Like, they take Madden here. So I was sorry when I first got here. Now I see that, like, they take it serious. So now I got a little better. I didn't beat people like Sterling, KJ. Who else would be? Damn.
Who's your team?
Falcons, for sure.
Oh, wow.
For sure. Right.
Going with the hometown squad.
Yeah, right now we are having a little we're going through some things, but we're going to have a better year next year. We tanking right now. We tanking. that's what we're going with.
But did you secretly practice Madden away from everyone else so you could get better? And then they were like, Christian, how'd you get so good? I don't know. I guess it was just natural.
So the way I do it, I don't have a game system or nothing. So we just have it in the front room and we play like that. So I thought about a way like that made me better. So we have like, it's like a 5-minute game. So if I get the ball first and score and I get the ball back and they didn't score, I just waste the clock the whole game.
Okay, Paul Johnson.
A lot of fun to play with Christian. And instead of running the play clock down to 1 second.
Somewhere Coach Smith is like, I like that. Yeah. It's like four corners of Madden. Exactly, I like this.
Exactly. Right. So the score going to be like 7-3 if you play against me.
So all it takes is one score, one stop.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just going to run the ball and it's just get first down. And I'm just going to keep running full back dive and everything. So
Triple option.
Yeah. And I run it down to the one every time. And they get so mad when they play against me. And I love it.
Who gets the maddest at the game?
KJ was mad. He was real mad. B-Rob get mad. B-Rob is a gamer. He gets so mad, like, especially losing 2K. And,
oh, yeah. He taught us how to shoot on 2K last year.
He taught who how to shoot?
Man, well, I was shooting with the stick on 2K instead of the
– Are you in – you know they got buttons for a reason.
Yeah, I know. I use the X button now. Okay. I got the whole tutorial. Yes. Yeah.
I wish you could have seen B-Rob's face when Jim's told him that he shot with a stick. He was like, you do what now?
Yeah, like, you make your life harder.
Yeah, it's harder. I agree. I'm fully X button guy now.
Okay. All right. I don't even know he know that for sure because it's a square to shoot. But we're not going.
Hey, what? Hey, come on! I'm on Xbox One.
Okay,
isn't it the X? Am I wrong?
Is it? I mean, I'm a PlayStation guy.
So. Okay, that's all right.
Look, Christian doesn't know. All he knows is once he scores one basket, he just holds the ball for the rest of the game.
Yeah, it works out. I mean, 4 or 5 minute quarters. Why would you?
Tell us a little bit about growing up. What do we know about? What should we know about pre-basketball, Christian Keeling?
Pre-basketball. Growing up, I'm from Augusta, Georgia. I grew up in not the best area, but, you know, it is what it is. But I got my siblings and my mom and my dad staying in California. But he was always, you know, even though he wasn't physically there, but he was always spiritually with us, you know, talking with us and stuff like that, supporting us from afar. But it was good, though. I mean, I wasn't – I actually loved baseball. Baseball was my favorite sport growing up, but I was not good in baseball. I was just a good base runner. And I used to just sub out the fat pitcher on my team. So I got tired of that. I think baseball was too boring because I was in the outfield. And, like, none of the kids was good enough to hit the ball out in the outfield. So I was just sitting down there taking a knee, playing, like, writing my name in the grass and stuff. So I got rid of baseball, but I always loved baseball. Then I started doing basketball because I was so happy to be taller than everybody. So I guess I started playing like rec league, and I was like, oh, this game is kind of fun. You know, you could just score a lot of points and then talk trash. So I was like, oh yeah, I like this sport. And then I realized like I'm not gonna be that tall, so now I gotta learn how to dribble. So I can't just stand in the lane and just shoot the ball and shoot layups all the time. So I went out there with my dad, and my dad trained, like, had his buddies to train me and stuff. And then I realized my uncle played in the NBA for, like, a year or two with the Mavericks. And he went to Santa Clara, and I was like, oh, wow. So I didn't know I had that much lineage. So I started falling in love with basketball. Then I got to middle school. I think I got cut my sixth grade year. I was so mad. I was crying. I hated that school. I hated everything about that school. So I think I transferred to a private school. So, but then I came back to that school, and then I ended up winning a championship. We went undefeated. And
that's a redemption story.
Yeah, great redemption story. But even that, I told that coach to this day, I still hated him for cutting me because his homeboy's son got it, and he wasn't better than me. So
it's good that it feels like you're over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not though. But I tell him that every time I speak to him, but that's my guy though. I love Coach Lee. But then I got to high school. Then high school was kind of weird for me because 9th and 10th grade, I wasn't like who I am today. Like I wasn't a scorer. I was like a utility guy, like a garbage guy. I didn't average a lot of points to my senior year. So, but we were so good. Like we was I think we went to the Final Four 3 of my 4 years and then Elite Eight my senior year. And we had like 3 or 4 guys that went to college that year. So we was real good. I think my junior year was the best year. We went like on the 28 game running streak. It was like 50 in the country, I think, that year. But I think on that team, I only averaged 11 points. And then so most people graduate. So me and my running mate, Zep, and then my senior year, I blew up to like 25, 24 points a game and got all these accolades and stuff. But I didn't really get my offers until my 4 offers till summer of my AAU. And I think I had got 4 offers and from Morehead State, Delaware, Jacksonville, and Charleston Southern. Then I was like, oh, wow. Because I was like just worrying about if I was going to go to school or was I was going to play Division One and stuff like that. So, I mean, just to get them 4 offers was just crazy. And to look back that far and what I am now, so it's crazy. So,
you mentioned you didn't grow up in the best surroundings.
Yeah.
Why do you think you're sitting here with us instead of having gotten in trouble or done whatever else you could have done?
My mom was real big in keeping us in like sports and like camps and like church camps, like keeping us out there. But you know, sometimes it's hard to do it, especially when she's working. You know, she got to work a couple jobs and stuff, so she's not with us 24/7. But, you know, there's some things I did when I was little that I regret. But, I mean, it made me who I am, made me tougher. You know, some days, you know, you couldn't walk in the alley or stuff because you're going to get jumped and stuff. And I remember days that I used to walk on the street. They stole my MP3 player and stuff like that. And I tried to get it back, and they just beat me up. So me and my brother, we was always close-knit, you know. But sometimes you see drugs, you see prostitutes, you see all this stuff that, you know, you typically gonna see at my age, and you just gotta learn from it. And it's just, I think my environment showed me what not to do instead of like what to do. So I think I was, and my brother was always telling me like, don't do this or don't do that, or try to do this and try to do that. But, you know, just, and then like, you know, the gang members and stuff like that, you know, they always looked at me because they seen that I had a future. You know, that's one thing I always enjoy about where I grew up at. They always look out for the people that have a future, you know, and I respect them for that. You know, that's tough to do instead of just bringing me in and try to, you know, put me on the wrong path. So, yeah.
Yeah, some challenges in your family.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that and how it shaped you.
You know, growing up, I had a couple of deaths that affected my life effectively. My cousin died. He got shot in the head when I was in 2011, I believe. So that one's he was like one of my he was like an older brother to me. So that one they hurt me pretty much. And then my grandfather died, and then the biggest one obviously is my mom. She passed away going into my like the end of my junior year and the spring of my junior year. That was a big time one for me, and it kind of motivated me and drive me to, you know, because at first I didn't really take basketball that serious, but now I had like a motivation and I had like a fire lit in me. And, you know, she did so much for me and my siblings, and sacrificed so much. So, and I just felt like I had something to do it for. And it pushed me to this day. And it's hard. It's hard, you know, to lose your mother, you know, going into your senior year. She haven't seen me. She didn't see me walk across the stage for graduation, let alone college. So I know she's proud, you know, to graduate in 3 years. And she pushed me even more academically because she was a big academic and she was real. So I want to show, like, people where I come from and, you know, don't matter what adversity hits you, you could do it. And I want to just prove to everybody I could graduate, let alone graduate in 3 years.
How did you do it? Because that's a lot for one person to deal with. Some people get angry. Yeah. Some people get sad and never talk to anybody. How did you do it?
I got a good support base. My auntie and my dad, they supported me real well. You know, they took me in. They nurtured me. But it was hard, man. Some days I went to sleep crying, man, because I wish I had my mom, man. You know, sure. You never could take life for granted, because like I see my homeboys or like people just, you know, talking back to their mother or like, you know, not listening to their mom. You might not have your mom the next day. So I mean, you realize how precious life is and how people close to you, because you always think about like, oh, they, you know, that's not going to happen to me. You know, it humbles you real quick. But you got to be strong, man. My faith is in the Lord, and I think this was his plan, man. You know, I think he won't put nothing that you can't bear. So, I mean, and I'm a firm believer, and I trust in his plan. And I think with that death, with my mom's death, it made me to a better man today. So, and I just, you got to live, you just got to fight. You know, it's not going to be something that it's going to never go away. But you just, I just got to live with it, and I just accepted it, and I'm going to persevere through it.
No easy transition to go from there to somewhere else, Christian, but let's talk a little basketball as we wrap things up here. So you had your first experience in the Smith Center a couple nights ago. As we are talking to Christian, the Notre Dame game hasn't happened as of yet. So take us through kind of the when your name was called, when you're out there on the court for the first time with a live crowd, and then maybe your feelings going in here to the regular season.
Yeah, it was crazy, you know, like being a fan growing up and having my dad's number, high school jersey on. So it was crazy, man. It was overwhelming. You know, it's a lot of great people put on that Carolina jersey, man. And you just got to represent it, you know. But after that, after them feelings went away, I mean, now it's about the game, you know. Anyway, you know, I know our main goal is to win the championship. So it's one game at a time. So that game was our championship game. So Notre Dame is going to be our championship game because that's the next game. And that's all I'm worrying about right now. And that's where my mind's at. And everything, you know, everything is good and stuff when you think about it after the game. But during that game, I'm so locked in, I'm not even worried about all that.
You looked more comfortable. You looked more like yourself the other night in the second half than you did in the first half. What was different?
Like you said, you know, it's stuff again, Justin, too. You don't know how coach is in the game, you know, with the crowd. And you don't know what to expect. So I'm real big on, like, letting the game come to me, like, not trying to force it. So, I mean, I didn't realize I didn't score until after the game, until the second half. So, but it was just, you know, I wasn't trying to force anything. I was just trying to play the game within the system. I mean, it's not about, you know, scoring and about that. But once I seen the real rhythm and I kept going, I was like, okay. But it was good, though. I mean, you know, I don't know how much I finished up with, but I mean, it was great. I mean, we got the win ultimately. I think Leaky threw me some great passes, and Cole did me some great passes. So, and it got me into rhythm. So, I mean, you just gotta let the game come to you. You know, I guess that's for being a little experienced and stuff like that. Not trying to force it early or nothing like that. But if it comes early, it comes early. If it comes late, it comes late. If it don't come at all, it comes along. As long as we win the game, I can care less.
Do you actually not know how many you had?
Not really. I think I heard something like 13, maybe 10. I don't know.
14.
14? Yeah. I had 14 in the second half. Oh, wow.
Adam told him after the game, he said, Christian Keelan can really shoot. So, hey, you got Adam excited in that second half.
I'm on board.
I got you, man. I got one person, man.
When Christian walks out here, he's going to be like, Adam can really podcast.
Yeah, what a, those guys are two peas in a pod. Exactly. All right, two more quick things, and then we'll get you out of here. So many new guys on this team, and guys you probably didn't know until a couple months ago.
Exactly.
How are all of you trying to come together as one unit when you got all these pieces from different places?
I think that's just going back to being a family. You know, we know that we are family, and we always hanging with each other. You know, we genuinely love each other. So on the court, it might not seem like we are gelling, but it's gonna get there because you know it's hard to do like put all them pieces together in a short amount of time. And coaches, it's very difficult. I could assume to you know try to do it and do it the right way, but we know that we all got a common goal. You know, one thing about allies always come together for a common goal. But like we all come from these different types of places, freshmen, grad transfer, all these type of places. We got to come together. You know, we got people that really didn't play that much, like B-Rod, Maliki, and all them due to injuries or whatever. And then you got Garrison being our only starter. So, you know, we just got to learn from those guys. They're the returners. So, like, Playtech and B-Rob and Shay and all of them, I just absorb all the knowledge from them. And you know, Garrison and B-Rob is an unbelievable captain, is our leader of our team. So you know, I just go under their rings, and because they know what they've been there here the longest. You know, they know what respect, they know the ins and outs. So I mean, they do a good job, and the coaches do a well job of preparing us and you know trying to, you know, they teaching us, you know, coaching us up, because they understand that we knew and we got to adjust. Sure. But they, you know, they want us to do it at a good rate. So, I mean, it's all – I think we're going to be playing our best basketball in March, April. So, it's going to be good.
I know Christian Keeling knows this. And that's if you text while driving. It takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. Adam, I thought it was funny. When Christian Keeling was leaving the interview, we were talking about going to Wilmington. He said, now, how – is that a trip we'd go on the bus? And I was like, yeah, that's, you know, it's only probably about a 2-hour drive from here, straight shot on the interstate. He was like, now coach told me that they're flying private to all the road games or charter or whatever it was that he said. And I thought, right, but there are some caveats to that, Chris. You don't take the plane to Winston to play Wake Forest, for example.
We're going to bust to NC State. Somebody lied to me in the recruiting process. They got an airport in Raleigh.
But we do know this, that the bus driver, as they take the Tar Heels to Wilmington, will be keeping his eyes on the road because, as we said, texting while driving takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. And at highway speeds, that's like driving the length of a football field with your eyes closed. Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina want you to stay safe behind the wheel, so don't text and drive. Go to trustedchoice.com/GoHeels, and you can find an independent insurance agent near you to learn more. Now, that leads into the 5-second challenge.
I'll tell you something else I liked about Christian Keeling. He doesn't even pod while texting because he...
Text while podding?
Yeah, that also. He doesn't... Yeah, what you said... Because when he was doing the interview, he put his phone down on the floor.
Oh, almost left it in brand new Pod World headquarters.
Well, what a luxurious place to leave it.
His phone probably was like, no, don't take me. I want to stay.
But a lot of these youngsters today, Jones, keep their phone right there, and they're on it while they're talking to you. And he didn't do that. He put it down on the ground, turned it over. He wanted to be laser focused on your questions.
Wanted to be all in.
I like that.
Okay. You know the rules of the 5-second challenge.
I do. I just don't participate in them.
So even though Adam is supposed to be the question asker today, we're going to flip the script.
Do you have just like a whole set of 5-second challenges in your classy backpack and you just pull one out whenever
now,
needed?
No, I fully admit I worked on this 5-second challenge before we began to pod today. And then when I was done, I realized it wasn't my week. Mm. And as you're going to find out, it's a pretty timely one, so I felt like I needed to do it this week. So in my mind, I had already prepared to give you like a bonus round today.
Right.
But then you went and helped me out by dropping the ball and not doing anything. And so I can just take over, and this can be the 5-second challenge.
Being slack pays off again.
By the way, just prepare yourself for a lot of Adam this year after home games. I mean, you were everywhere after this game. I'm hearing you.
I did one interview.
I'm hearing you. I'm seeing you. I'm reading you. You're all over the place.
I think it's good that it's only after home games, but it was a lot.
Yeah. You're on the grind. You're hashtag grinding at home games. Who even knows when Adam left the facility last night?
Who
or
does
excuse
know?
Me, Wednesday night.
Yeah, who does know?
Or Thursday night, for that matter.
When I did, I had a nice bag of Dewey's.
Yeah, you did. Big shout out to our friend Scott at Dewey's.
What up? Sweet bread is the modern term. Sugar bread is what us old schoolers
call it. No, Adam, it's Moravian sugar cake.
You said sweet bread. It says sugar cake on the box. Whatever you call it, it is darn delicious.
Okay. Cole Anthony, Adam.
Yes.
Had 34 points. As we know, the most for a Tar Heel in his debut.
Most for any ACC player in his debut.
Also correct.
Surpassing RJ Barrett. Is that the question?
That's the end of the five-second challenge. No. Now, Adam, I have to admit, this list of answers is a little unofficial. I have not confirmed this, but this is after my own personal research, Adam, that I have come to this conclusion.
Okay.
So, according to Jones's own hashtag grind personal research while Adam was failing to do anything, 9 other freshmen in Tar Heel history have scored 30 or more points in a game. Adam, your five-second challenge is to name as many of those 9 freshmen, other than Cole Anthony, that have scored 30 or more points in a game. I'm giving you an extra second to get the clock ready. Your 5 seconds start right now.
Phil Ford, Antoine Jameson, Joseph Forte, Tyler Hansbrough, Harrison Barnes.
Stop. Okay. You had Phil Ford.
Yep.
You said Joseph Forte.
Mm-hmm.
You said Harrison Barnes and Tyler Hansbrough and Antoine and Jameson. Antoine. 3 of those are correct.
Ooh, not very good.
Now, and again, this is unofficial. We better double check. I did not have Phil Ford on the list. I don't think Phil got 30 points or more his freshman year. Obviously, we know Phil, all-time great. Of the 3 that you got correct, Adam, 2 probably the easiest ones. Tyler Hansbrough, Harrison Barnes. They each had 40 points in a game, actually, in their freshman year. Antoine Jameson was the other that you got correct. Joseph Forte did have 30 or more points, but it was his sophomore year.
Wow. I really thought he did have 30. And remember that Maui Invitational?
He was great in Maui.
He went crazy.
You know, did you know he opened his sophomore year? It was against Tulsa here. He had 38 points in that game.
Mm. Joseph Forte was good.
You know, actually, this team, the 2000 team,
mm-hmm.
I could see a comparison with this year and that year.
Yeah.
You know, that team went to the Final Four, Adam.
Sure did.
Let's go. Book it.
Kind of an up and down season.
Yeah.
Ended up in the Final Four.
Yeah. Okay, here are the other ones. Okay. Again, unofficially on the list. Sam Perkins.
Hmm.
Your boy, Rashad McCants. Walter Davis. Mike Okorin. Don't know if you know this, Adam. 31 against UNLV in the Final Four his freshman year. No big deal. Surprised he didn't get this one because he is ya boy 1B after Kenny Smith, J.R. Reed.
I should have gotten that one.
That's your time frame, Adam.
Yeah, I should have gotten that one. That was a mistake on
me. I mean, Adam, when Adam is worn down at the end of the day and he just needs some happy thoughts, he closes his eyes and thinks about 1987 Carolina basketball.
Yeah. I mean, I was right in there, like I had the flat top and everything.
Antoine Jameson, Harrison Barnes, Tyler Hansbrough, that's 8. And Adam, another low-hanging fruit that you missed, Coby White.
Wow, bro, that's crazy.
Yeah. That was like a gimme. I didn't want to participate in that one.
So those are the 9 on the unofficial Jones research list. Perkins, McCants, Walter Davis, Mike Okorin, J.R. Reed, Antoine Jameson, Coby White, Harrison Barnes, Tyler Hansbrough. Now, remember, freshmen weren't eligible to play until the 72-73 season. I think that's the right year. So there were some great players in Carolina history who didn't have the opportunity to play as a freshman.
One of my favorite parts of Cole Anthony's performance is that he took one of those people out of the record book.
I'm going back while we talk, Adam. I'm just going to silently agree with you. God, the lack of Phil Ford is concerning to me. But Phil's freshman year was 74-75, right? Correct? The 74-75 season.
Yeah, because he was a senior in 78.
Yeah. All right, I'm looking.
Well, and remember, he had a very – he didn't start out very well. And he, I think he even talked about this when he was on with us, that he felt like at some point in his freshman year, he wasn't quite sure he could play. And but then got a talking to from Coach Smith, and things turned around.
Yeah, I think I got that right, Adam. No big deal. Don't think Phil's on this list as a freshman.
Well, and also 30 points then, a little different than 30 points now. Yep. No three-point shot, no shot clock.
Still the all-time record. It has stood since 1965. Bobby Lewis had 49 points against Florida State.
I think that's one of the most unknown big facts about Carolina basketball that you could fool a, not a pod listener, but a regular Joe college basketball fan who holds the single game scoring record at North Carolina. Average Joe fan isn't going to say Bobby.
Oh, I'm sure average fan would probably say Michael Jordan or Tyler Hansbrough just because they are who they are. But yeah, Bobby Lewis, the closest anybody has come recently, of course, Barnes and Hansbrough each had 40. Shamon Williams had 42 at that game in Georgia Tech in 1998.
Is that one OT or two?
I think that was double overtime.
I think it was two.
And so it's just, it's a record that has not really been approached a lot by Tar Heel players. Adam, you wrote this, I think, in your postgame column, again, with your mini media. You're like Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, just
with
like
your,
that.
When your mini media appearances, I can't keep up with where you said this. I think Cole Anthony has a really good chance for a triple-double at point.
Yes.
Of course, that's only happened twice in Carolina history. It was the same season.
That's another one you could get people with.
Yeah, Capel, Jason Capel, and Brendan Haywood.
Within a week of each other.
Yeah, it was within a week or two. Yes, it was wild.
You go the entire history of Carolina basketball, no one gets a triple-double. You go within a few days of each other, two players who you probably wouldn't guess, especially Brendan Haywood. He just doesn't seem like Mr. Triple-Double to me. And two players do it, and then it hasn't happened since then. But I do think Cole Anthony's got a chance. Now, as this team gets more comfortable, he's going to get fewer rebounds. But because he's so darn physical, I think he's always going to have the chance that he might be able to get double figures.
Adam, I wanted to, unless you have something else about that five-second challenge.
No, but that was a good one.
Thank you, Adam. A little bit of hard work pays off. Try it sometime.
It's amazing what happens when no one cares who gets the credit, Jones.
I would like to give a double what up to some of our field hockey friends. Yentl-Lehmans, ACC Defensive Player of the Year from Carolina Field Hockey. ACC Offensive Player of the Year, also from Carolina Field Hockey, in Aaron Mattson. So congratulations to those two Tar Heels for their terrific season. Carolina has won 40 consecutive games. By the way, somebody else other than Karen Shelton got Coach of the Year. Okay.
What? Do you get to vote on those two?
No, not that one. They said they can only give so much power to one man.
Yeah, that would be too much.
Yeah.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Right. It's just like the fact that Roy Williams or Mike Krzyzewski doesn't win the basketball. That their teams are always the best teams. I mean, come on.
What do you think was the logic when they said, okay, Team A has won 40 games in a row. But this other team, we thought they were going to finish fifth in the ACC, and they finished third. Great job. That is the best coaching job I've seen. I also think it's because people, and you know this, and we've talked about this, people don't appreciate how difficult it is to be extremely good on a regular basis.
It's just like, I mean, we laughed about this a couple shows ago, that Anson Dorrance hasn't been the coach of the year in women's soccer like 95% of the time. Okay, I'm sure someone else was better.
Better than Anson Dorrance. Like, if you want to make an award for, like, underdog coach of the year.
Yeah, it should really be exceeded expectations coach of the year.
A little better than we thought you might do, coach. Not best coach.
Right. Okay. Couple different things that wanted to mention. Adamola Okalaja goes on the list already of some interviews that are getting potty buzz, but good gracious, we can only nominate four. And we've already gotten positive response from the James Sperling interview, which falls in this potty year, the Alexander Julian interview, the Adamola Okalaja interview. I mean, Adam, there's only one that can be a potty winner.
And I'm going to tell you, there's a couple that have already occurred.
Oh, yeah.
That are going to be in this discussion. And there's only one potty.
Yeah.
It's like the coach of the year. There's only one, and it's for the greatest.
Want to go through a couple of tweets, Adam. Got a bunch of good hashtag arm cross serious face photos where we snuck in a ticket contest for you. So congratulations to the winner. Adam, who won?
We actually ended up giving away a couple pairs of tickets, you never know what we're going to do. And that's why you need to follow us on the various social medias.
Matt McClain won some of them with arms crossed serious one face, pair, right? Yeah.
Yeah. He was the arms crossed serious face winner. And then we had one other pair that we liked the message they sent. And so we thought they would need to go to the game also.
Debbie wanted to know if tours of brand new Pod World headquarters were available. Debbie, you got to have a really high security clearance. Not saying you don't because I don't know you, but I kind of doubt it.
Not many people do. Well, one person's going to get a tour of Pod World headquarters.
That's right.
If you'd like a tour, maybe next fall when UNC Lineberger Fast Break Breakfast comes around.
Yep.
Put a little bid on that.
Dusty Tompkins is going to be in here with us at a date to be determined. Bobby Casey said, Adam's voice sounds exactly the same, but Jones's voice is much deeper in new Pod World headquarters.
Congrats.
Yeah. Well, it's because my testosterone level just goes even higher, Adam, when I'm here in brand new Pod World headquarters because I'm so fired up for our excellent surroundings, whereas Adam's only working with what he's working with, right?
I'm at a fever pitch all the time.
I think I'm just killing you today, Adam.
It's been a rough day. You know who doesn't kill me? Bobby Casey.
Yeah.
That guy always makes me feel good about myself. Even when I've done a terrible job, Bobby Casey like makes me believe I can do it.
Yeah, it's like Bobby Casey always, a little what up to Bobby Casey.
Yeah.
Because every day we put out a pod, he's like, guys, listen to the pod. It's great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bobby.
Yeah, I like that.
It does make us feel good. A lot of positive stuff about the Adamola Okalaja interview, as we mentioned. Elaine Brewer Floyd sent us one that said she saw a different candy map than you saw, Adam.
Yep.
And that the one she saw had Reese's Cup as the North Carolina favorite, but Milk Duds coming in second.
I don't understand what the push is for the Milk Duds, but I like Elaine's map better than that map I saw.
Adam, T.R. Amrine sent in, said, great interview with Adamola. He said he enjoyed Adamola's energy and sense of humor. He also enjoyed me begrudgingly filling in some of the blanks in his stories with things like Weber State and Harold Arsenault and Michael Doliak, who, as we know, is all whack. And I did go back and listen, and the disdain in my voice just saying their names is pretty palpable.
Yeah. I think an underrated part of that interview was when Adamola said he later got to curse out Harold Arsenault.
Yeah.
I felt like a cleansing go through Tar Heel Nation when he said those words.
Rusty Sebastian, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is a Photoshop, Adam, because I don't remember doing this.
Well, would you remember everything you did with Tony the Tiger, or would there be parts you weren't sure about?
There is.
That's an awesome picture.
Yeah, the photo, arms crossed photo. This is the one we actually took with Alexander Julian. The only reason I know is because Adam's wearing his denim warm-up jacket.
With the collar popped.
Yeah. And instead of Alexander Julian, our hashtag fashion bro, it's Tony the Tiger. And we've got the stadium in El Paso behind us as the background.
That's incredible work.
Tony the Tiger, you, sir, are great.
They're great.
Still in play that we could do that for real.
Totally. Our friend King Jones, really a kindred spirit of mine. Sent me a picture, and he said he saw this on social media, and it reminded him of the Coke Freestyle story, where if you were with us this summer, you remember I was at a Coke Freestyle machine, and a woman didn't know how to work it, and I was trying to help her work it, and she just proceeded to tell the machine that she wanted a Dr. Pepper, and then she kept saying it at a louder volume as time went on. So the picture that King Jones saw is a woman on Twitter said that she had slapped a sticker on the paper towel dispenser that says, "This is voice activated. Say loudly, paper towel now." Is there any, Adam, okay, when you're a kid, you love the hand blower, like right. The dryer, right?
Yes.
Like my son, who's almost 8, he loves it.
Yeah.
Because it's loud and it's blowing hot air on your hands.
You had to push a button.
It's hilarious. Yeah. But now, I just want the paper towels. Just give me the paper towels. And if you have a dispenser, make sure it works.
A couple things about that. One, if you're going to give me the paper towels, don't dispense them one half of a square at a time. I need two paper towels to dry my hands. I can't do it with just one.
No.
Number two, I tell you the hand dryer that I do like that's not the paper towels. What about the Air Blade? You know what I'm talking about? It's called the Air Blade. I've seen it on
The one where you go
you put
down.
Your hands down in it. And then, I mean, it's like it cleans them with a jet engine.
Yeah.
And you put them down in there for about 2 seconds, you're walking out of there dry.
I think I've told this story before, but friend of the pod, Guy Murphy, the general manager at Top of the Hill, Adam, you're going to be surprised by this. They had some trouble with people ripping off their hand dryers late night sometimes on Saturday nights.
Deems.
And so they started shopping around to figure out how they could get an indestructible hand dryer. Have I told you this story before?
No.
And so they have prison-grade hand dryers at Top of the Hill, where they are the ones that are put in prisons so that they can't be ripped off the wall and used as a weapon in prison.
Why is that not on the top of the hill's marketing materials? Yeah. We've got a fantastic view, incredible food, friendly people, and prison grade hand dryers.
Yeah.
I'd go for that.
Just to see it.
Yeah. Like, let me take a look at this thing.
Just look at it and be like, you know, that's not what they had when I was in the pokey in the mid-80s.
Yeah, well, that's my thing. I'm hoping not to go to jail, so I'm probably not going to see the prison-grade hand dryers any other way other than Top of the Hill. I'm going to go there. It's always awkward when you're taking a picture in the bathroom. But I'm going to do my best to be there at a time no one else is there.
Sounds like you have some experience with that.
Snap a quick selfie in the Johnny. And share it with the people so they can see what this looks like. But you should go in person.
Missy Hampy wants to know where our big scissors are for brand new Pod World headquarters. Look, things happen quickly, Missy.
Life comes at you fast. Ramesses Jr. is walking around with them, I bet.
If it hadn't have been the busiest time of the year that we actually moved in, we would have had a proper ceremony. Maybe we'll wait till the spring. Adam, we need to get Ramesses and Ramesses Jr. and Big Scissors and cut a ribbon at the door of brand new Pod World headquarters.
Maybe, what about during, like, exams? Do Ramesses and Ramesses Jr. have to take exams, or are they free then?
Ramesses Jr. might still be in school.
How awesome would that be? We need to come up with something for the ribbon other than just, like, a typical ribbon. Yeah. We need something cooler than that.
Friend of the pod, director of pod security, Rusty Cotterman, after hearing the story about my unfortunate sideburn slash head shaving occurrence the other day sent us a funny gif of some little kid getting his head shaved, and he does not like it. He did not even want that.
Did you ever get your haircut with the Flubi?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, but I never got it cut with the Flubi.
I never did either, but I always thought I would like to try it.
Ruth Ann Woodley sent us a very important link, Adam, from Reuters, where we get all our international news here on the pod, that says UPS drone makes first home prescription deliveries for CVS. She wanted to know if your dad might start using the drone for his CVS usage, because, Adam, do you know where the first drone delivery from a CVS was made?
Not where it was intended to be dropped.
Cary, North Carolina.
Oh, well, that does narrow the field. I'm going to say that doesn't sound like Dad that he would want a drone delivery. He's still trying to get on board with electronic tickets. He is not on board with electronic tickets. He wants the paper.
I got to say, I got more into the elect, because I don't use, Adam, I don't need tickets most places.
I just walk in and smile.
Where I'm going, I don't need roads. And so I got more into the electronic ticket game this past summer when I went to some games. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, I like it. And I've gotten in the electronic movie ticket game. What a huge plus that is.
I'm all in on electronic movie tickets. I've been telling you, you can buy your tickets in advance. You don't have to wait, and you get an assigned seat.
Yeah, that's big.
That is a complete game changer. Now, as far as electronic tickets for sporting events, what I don't like is, I really do like having it after I've gone. Mm. You know, like I like having the piece of paper, like, oh, I remember when I went to that game. But as far as the getting into the game part, I love it. I love the electronic tickets. I support them, and I wish they could come up with something that they could give me after the game so that I don't have to print out something from my phone. I don't like doing that.
David Yellen said that he loves the new post-game features, including Adam, but he wants me to get involved too. Sorry, that's media mogul Adam Lucas. I can't get into it.
The gates to the kingdom are closed, David. We can't just let in anybody. How do we know Jones knows how to do any of that stuff, like conduct interviews or talk about the Tar Heels?
You were all over the place, Adam.
That's only for home games.
Finally, our friend at Anchor Bill on Twitter. Adam, this is a valid question, and it's going to be one that is going to be frequently asked up until the UNC-Wilmington game. And that is that Bill saw that the game against Wilmington is on something called Flow Sports, and he wants to know what that is. Bill, it's complicated. Let me do my best here, Adam. Flow Sports is an online streaming entity. They have rights with the Colonial Athletic Association, the conference in which UNCW is a member. So, this game, since it is at UNCW, is only available through this streaming service called Flow Sports. To sign up for 1 month, if you want to watch this one game, it's $12.50. If you want to sign up for the year, it's like $80. So you get a 1 month break. Can you sign up for the whole year and then cancel after a month? I don't know. Have there been a lot of problems with Flow Sports, including a professional soccer team signing up with them to be their exclusive carrier and then hating it so much that the professional soccer team fired them after 1 year, breaking the contract? Yes. Here's one thing, Adam, that I know. The Tar Heel Sports Network will be there. You can listen on your local radio affiliate. You can listen on GoHeels.com through the GoHeels app, through the TuneIn app. Our local radio affiliates can stream on their websites as well. Lots of different ways that you can listen to the game. Now, you are likely going to get angry that you can't watch the game like you normally do.
On Friday.
Tonight!
Right.
I've already seen people go, how come this new ACC network isn't carrying this game. This game's at UNCW. What a terrible job by the Tar Heel marketing team. The Tar Heels have nothing to do with this. They are the visitors in this situation. If you have an issue with Flow Sports, please direct your anger towards Flow Sports, not the Tar Heels.
Yeah, I expect angry tweets tonight in the 7 to 8 range.
Well, they know who to send them to. Adam, last thing, at least from me. I hope you have noticed. I haven't brought this to the pod on the air, but I've been keeping the folks on social media up to date on the water, the hydration.
Right.
And I told you we have the new water fountain that counts how many bottles you've saved, and my desire to hit the big numbers on the bottle saved. Adam, it was magical. I've hit both 1,900 and 2,000 bottles saved here in the last week and a half or so.
That's a lot of bottles that you're drinking. What was it like to see the numbers flip from 1999 to 2000?
I'm going to tell you, when it got to 1998, and it was late, and only one other person was in the office, and I was like, look, the water fountain's at 1998. I feel like I've got my big travel water thing here. We'll drink it and then refill it, and I think I can get a double pour and get to 2000. So a little what up to my friend Sid, who didn't cut in front of me and take the water glory. She let me go in there and get to 2000. It was a pretty special moment, Adam.
What do you think is reasonable to expect by the end of the basketball season?
I mean, it's been 2000 in...
It's been 1 week.
In just a little more than 2 months.
Yeah.
Right? So we're talking 4 months from now? I think people might be here a little bit more with more home games.
Yep.
Adam, I think 6,000, between 5,000 and 6,000, I think is a very fair estimate.
When it gets to 49.92, are you just going to sit by the water fountain?
What I will say is I'm a little bummed now that we're getting out of when the numbers on the water fountain are years that I'm aware of. When it would be like, I saw like 1957, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Good job, Lenny.
Tar Heels won the title that year. Or like 1492. I was like, ah, Columbus. But now we're at like 2070 or something. How am I supposed to know? I mean, Cole Anthony Jr. will probably be like the all-time leading scorer at Carolina. But I don't know anything else that's happening.
Hoverboards.
I know one thing that's happening, Adam, and that's that you are getting on your tractor and pulling out the boombox and hitting that play button, because LS Tractor wants to know about Tar Heel fans that work selflessly to improve the lives of others and their communities. LS Tractor and the Tar Heels have partnered up to recognize hometown heroes from throughout the state. GoHeels.com/hero, and you can nominate someone you know for a chance to be recognized on the court at an upcoming Carolina basketball game. LS Tractor, proud partner of Carolina Athletics. Adam, anything else before we say goodbye?
I've done so much already. How can you ask for more?
Next week, it's going to be a really busy week. First pod of the week will be a pretty traditional pod. We will look at the UNCW game. Adam, I don't mind saying we have an awesome guest coming up on Monday.
Tuesday.
That is going to be one. Look, I think we have a pretty good track record of telling you when there's an interview that you don't want to miss.
Yes.
You don't want to miss the interview on Tuesday.
Not the biggest name.
No, you're going to go, what?
Yeah, what's Jones talking about? He's talking crazy. Trust us.
You will want to hear that interview. Then, our second pod of next week is going to be a little different because of the Pitt game on a Thursday. So, we're not going to know the result of that game. We haven't decided yet. We may do everybody's favorite pod segment, either or. Hadn't done that in a while, Adam. There's some people who don't even know what that is. We have another terrific must-listen interview. And we're going to give you a virtual tour of the new, brand new Pod World headquarters, where Adam breaks down some of all the goodies that we have in here and tells some of the stories behind them.
What a bonanza next week is going to be.
So buckle up and don't text while you drive. And sit back and enjoy Christian Keeling and the RZA sending us out here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
I'm Christian Keeling, and see you later, Brick Grits.
When I was small, we had nothing at all.
Box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.